This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine dining. The search for the most mediocre restaurant in America is a podcast where Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. His most recent episode featured guests Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's food court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Head on over to linktree.com/fine dining podcast and click Bees giveaway to enter for an all-expense-paid trip to your local Applebee's. The current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. Asterisk $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee's gift card.
Welcome to a Funny Feeling Podcast. I'm Betsy Sodaro.
And I'm Marcy Jarro. This is a podcast where comedians tell us their paranormal experiences, and we listen to yours as well.
Oh, yeah. And if you have one of these paranormal experiences that you want to share with us, please email it to us at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com.
Now get cozy.
And prepare yourself to be scared silly.
This is a Funny Feeling Podcast.
Woo!
Happy New
Year. Old acquaintance be forgot that I don't know the song. What a party last night.
Happy New Year. Welcome.
Happy New Year.
To 2019. I got some personal intel. It's going to be better than 2018.
Oh, God, it's going to be way better.
It's going to be so much way better.
It's going to be better.
Bow, bow, bow. Bow, bow, bow.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
You're all, maybe not all of you for sure, but I'm sure some of you are sitting on your couch,
fucking chilling out,
waiting for Postmates to bring you just something extra sloppy.
Yeah,
you on this glorious
sop up
day,
you
gotta sop up. That's one of my favorite things to do on New Year's Day is just order fun garbage food and watch movies all day long.
You know what? That's my favorite thing to do every day.
I was just thinking, actually, if I could do that every day, I would, and I do it too often.
I'm going
doctors
to
doctors have been telling me
kill
it's
myself.
Not good.
But since it's another holiday week, we're gonna catch up on some listener stories.
Yeah, we
no
are.
No guests today, just me, Betsy, and you.
And you guys.
And you're fucking...
Thank you so much.
And terrifying stories.
Like we said, please keep sending them.
Yeah, we're getting...
We love them.
We're just getting to some ones from like... almost like a year ago, so we're catching up.
Yeah.
But send them.
But keep sending them. We love them. We love hearing everything.
It's the most fun.
It's the most fun.
So, should I just dig in?
Sure. Happy New Year's, everyone.
Happy New Year's to you.
Cha, cha, cha.
All right. Dogs know what's up. Hey, Betsy and Marcy. Two main takeaways from my experience.
Great.
One, dogs are great.
Hell yes.
Two, paranormal apps may not be complete bullshit.
Oh, shit.
Here's
okay.
my story. At the time, I'm 18 years old and home alone. My parents worked a lot, so I had a lot of available time to get in all the trouble.
Kevin!
Great times. I would see and hear strange things all the time growing up, but my parents just dismissed all claims as imagination. Mm. For reference, my parents aren't very open to the thought of spirits or ghosts, but love the thought of angels when needed. Classic Catholics.
Yeah.
One day I'm home alone and decided to make my own Ouija board.
Uh-oh.
Shot glass, cardboard, nothing too fancy, but I still wanted to try it. After setting everything up, I put my finger on the shot glass and started asking questions. I couldn't feel any movement of the shot glass, so after a few minutes, I gave up on the Ouija board, but wasn't quite done yet. I was really into that Ghost Hunter show and yes. saw they used some device which would transcribe words from ghosts slash spirits. It would basically give one word answers or just random words, supposedly being communicated from spirits. Turns out there's an app for that. Many of them actually. So I got one of the from the app store and started having some fun. The app picked up a presence when I asked if there was someone there. After some skeptical questioning, the words coming through the app let me know that it was female who died from being crushed.
What?
When I asked if she had crushed? A good life. Yeah. Quote unquote.
Yipes.
Crushed.
Ugh.
When I asked if she had a good life, the app said no and not. Right when those words were coming through the app, my dog started freaking the fuck out at an empty hallway, backpedaling as if something was walking toward him.
No.
My dog is a 110-pound Great Dane / pit bull mix.
What? Can you send us a picture?
Yes, I want to see that dog.
That dog sounds awesome.
So he doesn't get scared too easily nor bark this ferociously, even around sketchballs who he should bark at. That freaked me out enough to take him outside and we went on a very long walk.
Aww.
Fast forward a few years and I'm in college recovering from a knee surgery. As I'm laying at home in my bed, bored out of my mind, I decided to turn on my paranormal app. At first, I asked a few questions about who was there and none of the responses were very understandable. After a few minutes, I got a warm feeling and the app started saying the words that were all too relevant. I can't remember the exact order that came up, but the words were knee, leg, heel, and here. Unfortunately, my dog wasn't with me at my college house, so I didn't have my trusty pup to bark at whatever was communicating with me.
Trusty pup.
All in all, dogs are great and paranormal apps might or might not be bullshit.
Wow.
Cheers, Ryan.
Nice.
Whoa.
That's so creepy.
I like it because it was cute, too.
Yes, it was creepy and cute.
It was like creepy, but
also totally cute.
Oh, my gosh. I want to know app that was.
Did you do the sunset?
Yes, I did.
And you guys had apps,
we
right?
We had, for reference for listeners, so UCB Sunset has some ghost story histories to it.
Because it used to be a bunch of different businesses yes. in that building.
And like an old
like
theater,
a church,
convalescence
an
home.
Old theater. Yeah, like.
Yeah, it was like a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah.
And people, and like, just like maybe at some points, like drug dens and like, you know.
Yeah.
It was rough space at one point. So I did the overnight paranormal hunt or whatever.
I couldn't do it.
Honestly, everyone ruined it. They were too loud. You gotta be patient when you paranormal hunt.
But see, and you thought that's why you wouldn't get hired.
Yes.
To be it, because you talk
too
much.
Yeah, I know who I am. But like, there was like, you know, dogs there, people goofing off.
Okay.
And we didn't really find anything.
What was the app you used?
I forget what it was, but some app, like in the middle of like, we're sitting in this completely dark room with no lights, no
scary.
Windows.
Oh my goodness.
And all of a sudden it goes, and I thought it was Mark Rennie. And so I screamed at him immediately. And there's a video of like the darkness and then all of a sudden a weird noise and me go, Mark.
That's very funny.
It's very funny.
We should get one of those apps. I'm too scared.
Too scared.
I don't want one of those apps, even if it's just a joke.
Even if it's just a goof.
Even if it's just in the end telling me stuff to buy.
I also like how the dog was like, I think it was, I you know what it
what
is?
What is an amazing visual?
I think it's because like animals can't really tell the difference between a ghost or a person. Like if they're seeing it, they're seeing it.
Yeah.
And then if someone's in your house, it's scared. Like it's like, oh, I'm supposed to protect this house.
Well, and remember the peripheral vision thing we learned?
Oh, they see
all in black and white.
Yeah.
And they see in black and white. So they're seeing movements that like
we
don't see because our eyes are trying to focus on something else. This holiday season, I've learned so much.
Betsy's brain's growing out of
her
head.
It's growing three times the size, just like the Grinch's heart.
She's the Grinch of knowledge.
Help me. Yeah, I didn't want it at first. I hated knowledge. And
but it
now
was only
I'm...
because you were stupid.
Really,
like he's lonely, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that the Grinch, that he's just lonely and that's why he's...
And he hates Christmas. Yeah.
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 All right.
I have a kind of long one, but it looks fun.
Well, Dig in.
Are you ready?
I'm ready, Freddie.
Okay. Oh, okay. Here we go. Hi, Betsy and Marcy. Hello. I've been listening to your podcast almost from the beginning. Awesome. And I think it's finally time that I tell you my stories. Feel free to split these up or only discuss one part because this might be a lot all at once. I'm not splitting these up. I'm going to read them all and we're going to discuss. Maybe we'll take breaks to discuss each
okay.
thing if that's cool with you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, hometown legend.
Ooh.
Which, please send us those too yes. if you guys have them because they're just awesome and fun. Okay. I wanted to start with this because honestly, it's the most interesting one to me and probably to an outsider. I grew up in a place called Denton, Texas, north of Dallas. And we have one area of town called Old Alton Road that also just happened to be right next. Oh, I'm sorry. That also just happened to be right across from my high school. Next to the road was a bridge that was no longer in use. That was simply called the Old Alton Bridge or Goatman's Bridge.
I've heard of Goatman's Bridge.
I feel
bridge.
I've heard of this. Okay. It always. I think there's a Ghost Adventures.
I've heard about of Goatman's Bridge for sure.
It was always told to me to be the site of old KKK hangings while Ooh. Also being the home of our famous Goatman. It was said that when the bridge was in use, people would discover cars left running as if someone just got up and left their car there. Oh, that's so scary. The myth I heard was if you flash your lights on the bridge or now on the road, you would see two red eyes of Goatman. There's even a sign that says it is under paranormal investigation. I also know a lot of creepy shit goes on in the woods around the bridge, such as satanic rituals and shit like that. I also have seen so many senior portraits or prom photos taken on said bridge. That's so funny. It's a weird thing. I'm still not sure why they even have the bridge up when it serves no purpose. I've heard this story told in other ways and may have left out details or gotten it wrong, but that's what I remember believing. Also, it was on BuzzFeed. So there's a haunted. Okay, great. There's an. I feel I've heard of Goat Bridge.
I have too, but I don't know the story of Goat Man. We should do it for an opening sometime.
We should. So. Send that to yourself. I got to check really quick. Yeah, Ghost Adventures did an episode at Goatman's Bridge. Scary.
That's cool.
That's scary. Ooh, that's a good hometown legend. Fuck. Taking your prom photo
at Goatman's
Bridge is very funny.
That's very funny.
Okay, so now we got some personal ghost stories.
Good.
Okay. The first time I remember thinking, oh yeah, ghosts are real, was when I was in around the third grade. I was getting ready for school and I remember it was only me and my mom at home. I had gone downstairs for breakfast and she made some comment about how she kept smelling her grandmother. Whoa! I had never met her, but I asked what she meant. She basically said that she kept smelling a musty smell that reminded her of her grandmother.
Aww.
Musty is funny.
Grandma's musty.
That really tickled me. I went upstairs and was brushing my teeth when a gust of old woman filled my nose. I immediately ran downstairs and told my mom. We both kind of handled it like, that's weird, but kind of cool if it's her.
Just a gust of old woman.
A gust of old woman. I know that smell,
yes,
though.
We know that
we
smell.
We all know that smell, yeah. Like attic or something.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. The next selection of stories come from a house that was haunted that my dad used to own. It was a three-story house, and my room, my sister's room, and our bathroom were on the top floor. I was the only one up there hanging out in my room when I heard a noise coming from the bathroom. When I investigated, it was my electric toothbrush in a drawer switched to on, not possible without physical force. I turned it off and put it back. Have we heard, like, did somebody tell us about, I feel I've heard that before.
My memory's like, so bad. So
their electric toothbrush was running.
No, I haven't heard that.
I feel, maybe somebody on the show
though.
Or something. Ooh, that's scary, man. Okay, now this is several months later. We all started comparing weird stories in the house, and one day at dinner, we finally got it all out there. My stepmom, who was pregnant with my second baby brother, told us that she had seen a man in a blue flannel shirt walking down the hallway once. She said she had told my dad, but he said it was just her pregnant brain. Dad, come on now. But my oldest brother agreed that he had seen a figure like that as well. I mentioned my weird toothbrush thing, and we decided we should ask my littlest brother, who was about one at the time, questions about the ghost, since kids can communicate with them. I like this, like, the thought process. Kids can fucking communicate. Let's ask this little kid going on.
Let him try it.
Try it, Mikey. He likes it. Hey, Mikey. At this time, my brother's vocabulary wasn't very strong. Yeah, he's one. Wasn't very strong, but he could communicate.
Oh.
We asked if the man was a farmer, just a hunch based on the land's history. Hell yeah. And he said, yeah. We asked what his name was, and he would say bah every time, like a sheep.
Bah.
Finally, we asked where he was, and he pointed behind me.
Fuck that kid.
Ew.
Fuck
I was like, kid. Nope, we're done with that. Yeah, fuck that kid. How dare you, little kid. Okay, here's another. Around Christmas, we are all sitting down to watch a movie. I hope it was Elf, in the media room, which had two sections to it. There was a room attached to it that acted as a playroom for my little brother that we had moved all the Christmas presents into. We were looking through movies, we heard a ribbit and an ambulance from the playroom. There were two puzzles like this, sent us a picture. The frog piece and the ambulance piece were set next to each puzzle, but they only make the noises when you place them in their spot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know. Like little kids, like,
yeah.
You put the oink, oink.
You put the oink in the oink and then it fucking oinks. Okay, you get it. Moving on. Next game.
Yeah, we get it. Shut up.
Here's another one. There were several other times my oldest brother would ask my little brother about the ghost, and the answers were always consistent, and he would always point behind me when asked where he was, no matter where we were in the house. I hated it. Yeah, of course. Once we asked, does it want to hurt us? To which my little brother whispered, yes.
Oh my God. Brother's a human Ouija board.
Yes. Oh my God. Totally. And she replies, which was my last straw. Yeah, fuck that shit. Okay, the last thing I remember happening was I was in bed almost fully asleep when my TV and radio turned on at the same time, but my TV was on static even though I had been watching a show before going to bed. Wow, that's spooky. Because nowadays, to get a TV to go to static, how do you do that?
I just hit any button and it happens sometimes. Like, you know, like a number button. I'm just like, oopsie. I hit a number.
When you're like doing cable or whatever.
Yeah, we're like, oh, fuck.
No, never mind. Okay, yeah. It's very easy, I guess.
No, but like you would have to do it though, yeah. Still.
Oh, that's so spooky. Those were all the things that happened in that house. I never felt in danger, but I always felt uneasy. I know that most of my family believes that the house was haunted by something. We once believed it was the farmer who had owned the land that our neighborhood was on, but we also found out that our neighbor was running an illegal hospice out of their home. And we were like, oh, fuck.
Oh.
It was just a creepy place, but they don't live there anymore.
So they were just like letting people die? They're like, come here, we'll take care of you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Thank you so much for reading. I also have a story about a psychic, but I didn't want to make this email too long. LOL. Send it.
Send it to
us. That was awesome. Thank you, Madison. She writes, don't shit your pants.
Oh, we won't.
We won't. Or we might. It's been a crazy holiday season.
You know, we're hungover.
January 1st is the perfect day to shit your pants and not feel too bad about
it. You're going to love it.
We guarantee it.
Yeah, her little Ouija board brother.
Wow, what a house.
Yeah.
But I like, though, how the family's like, let's fucking talk about it.
Yes.
And then let's be like, oh, I've had that happen to me, too. I've had that happen to me, too.
Yeah, I wonder if I would have told my parents. I don't know.
I don't know.
I might have talked myself out of it, though. Like,
see, I feel I would have always talked myself out of something before.
Yeah.
where I'd be like, oh, no, that's just my brain. Or,
but I mean, I've talked myself out of a lot of things. Like, I was literally like robbed once and I was like, it wasn't that bad.
Oh my God. I was like, yeah, gun in your face.
I had, on my neck, I had a bruise.
God.
And I was just like, ah, it was fine. Like, it wasn't that, like, I'm sure it was something I
We're
did.
We're like bred to do that.
Yes.
We've been taught
yes.
to just be like, no, it's fine. It's
fine.
Cool.
Don't worry about
it's
it.
It's fine. Let's move on.
Of course
I'm
you
fine.
Can rob me.
Yes. Please shove a gun into my neck.
Shall we take a vocal rest and listen to one?
Yes, I would love that. I need to sip on my tea.
Sip your tea.
Hi, guys. My name is Andy, and I wanted to share with you a scary experience I had. I grew up in a very small town in southern Utah called Kanab. They had one clothing store there called Duke's. It was named after Duke Aiken, who bought it from the original owners. The building itself was built in 1909. It was originally just your general mercantile. You could get little bit of everything there. When I was a kid, it turned into mostly clothing, a lot of cowboy stuff. The tourists really liked it because they could buy Levi's there. It had three floors when I was a kid, the basement, main floor, and then upstairs. And it was all clothing, but upstairs they would sell fabrics and thread, buttons, whatever you needed so you could sew stuff. So when I was about 20, 21 years old, I got a job there. At this time, they were only utilizing the main floor and the basement. The Aiken family still owned it. And I should mention, the Aikens are all fire red gingers, all redheads. So just keep that in mind, because that's important. So, I worked at the store, and it was always kind of creepy there. Just, it's an old building. You can feel the energy. You know, so many personalities have been in and out of that place. You just get that feeling, and the floors creaked, and there was a funny smell. So, it all just added to that great experience. It was a little creepy closing down at night, but I closed with my coworker, so it wasn't as bad. So this night in particular, we were closing the store. We'd already locked up, and we had the main entrance, and then there was a back dock entryway, which we never used, but our boss used it all the time. He had an office in the back storage area, so he would come through the dock and just work. And a lot of times we wouldn't even know he was there because he would just come in the back and do his thing. And once in a while he'd pop in and say hi, and other times, you know, you'd hear some noise and look back there and you're like, oh yeah, you could see Sam walk by, or, you know, we just assume it was Sam and wouldn't think about it. And so anyway, this night my coworker was closing down the cash register on the main floor, so I went down into the basement to close down the basement. It was summertime, I think I mentioned that already, so it wasn't quite fully dark when we closed down outside, so, you know, there were still people out and about. Plus it was summer, so, you know, the kids got to stay out later and whatever. So I closed down the basement. I just had to turn out the lights, make sure everything's good, get the money out of the till, all that. Came back upstairs. I was by the main entryway, and I just turned to look towards the back dock entrance for whatever reason. And there was, standing in the doorway leading from the main store into the back stock area, there was a little boy standing in the doorway. He was probably about 9 or 10. Bright, fiery red, orange hair. He was wearing overalls, and he just had a big grin on his face. And he wasn't like an evil smile. He was just like genuinely like giving me a smile, like, hey, hi. I believe at the time my boss had a son about that age. So I just thought, oh, you know, Sam's here, he brought his boy, whatever. So I just smiled back and I went and did the rest of the work with my coworker, and we finished up and went home. So the next night I worked with the son, another son of my boss. He was closer to my age. He was probably 18. Redhead, of course. They're all redheads. So we were just sitting there. It was a slow night, so we were killing time. And it's like, well, it's weird. Like, your dad came by last night and he didn't even say hi or anything. That was kind of creepy. And my coworker's like, my dad didn't come by the store last night. Like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, I thought he did. Was your brother out? Like, was he skateboarding? Maybe he stopped by to use the bathroom or something. He's like, I don't think so. I think he was home all night. Oh, okay. Well, I swear I saw your brother. Does he wear overalls? My coworker was like, no way. He would not be caught dead in overalls. So I'm just sitting there like, that is so weird. Like, I swear, I know I saw somebody. So who was he? And there's absolutely no way anybody got in unless they had a key. We had locked the front doors already, and you couldn't get in the back without a key to open the back dock door. So back then, I think I was just too spooked to even think about it. I was just like, whatever, and carried on my way. But as the years went on, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, holy crap, I think I saw a ghost. And it was a little boy wearing overalls, and I honestly don't even know if he was wearing shoes. Excuse me, I can't remember. But that's my little... Now I'm kind of like, ooh, I totally saw a ghost because it's exciting. But back then, I didn't even want to think about it. I didn't want it to be real. But that is my story. Thank you for listening.
Whoa, that's good. What? I get not wanting it to be real.
Oh, yeah, to be like, well, maybe it could have been anything. I don't really know.
No, I think your brother loves wearing overalls with no shirt on and no shoes. And he said,
I love it. The brother was like, my brother would never wear overalls.
He would never be caught dead. That is so funny.
He's like the coolest dresser in our family, and like, he does not wear overalls.
JNCOs, baby.
All the way.
He loves JNCOs. Those big old pants.
And I wear very tight shirts.
Style was wild.
Yeah, back in the
90s. It's always wild. But now I feel you and I have figured it out.
Oh, God. We're the tip of the top of the style.
We are the tip of the top of style.
I couldn't look any more like someone who's in a depression. We're in like yoga pants.
In the depression?
In a depression.
Oh, in a depression. Like, I mean, you don't look like you're waiting in line for bread.
Whose turn is it to read? Me?
If you want, I could also read.
I'll do it.
You do it.
Okay.
Read me a story, Marcy.
All right.
On this New Year Day. 2019. Who'd have thunk?
Oh no, she passed out. All right. My family's ghost cult.
Whoa.
All right. Hello, all. Some of my family is in a cult that I thought might interest you. This is not necessarily a traditional story, but there is a ghost in it.
Okay.
Two of my uncles, and to a lesser extent, my grandparents are part of the Ramtha School of Enlightenment, based out of Yelm, Washington. They are led by a woman named J.Z. Knight, who claims to be possessed by the spirit of Ramtha, a 35,000-year-old Lumerian warrior wizard who teaches her about the secrets of the universe. If you look up videos of Knight, you can see Ramtha speaking, aka Knight, suddenly takes on an accent that sounds inexplicably Southern German, British, and South African all at once.
What?
Here's a good example of Ramtha speaking through Knight. Do you want to hear this?
Yes.
Okay.
I could come up with a lot of words, but to me, you're a mystery.
Enigma.
Enigma.
Uh-uh.
I don't know. I cannot follow your mind where it goes, so...
Can you follow yours?
Oh, she's sassy.
So how should we all answer such a profound, enigmatic question?
Oh, now she's just creepily staring.
Wait, I want to see what she looks like.
Oh, yeah.
What is mysterious to you?
That, she... Whoa.
Mysterious. I guess it comes from the word mist.
Okay, whatever. So
whoa.
That's an example
what
of
does that ramp. Mean to you?
So, and all in all, it's fairly standard cult stuff. You pay to ascend the ranks, vague aspects of Eastern religions, controversy, etc. However, here are a couple highlights I thought you may enjoy.
Wow.
Knight first met Ramtha when he randomly appeared in her kitchen in 1977. Why exactly he chose her kitchen, I'm not really sure.
Wow. I bet she's cooking something delicious.
That's the way like, a man's heart is through good. His stomach. Another woman in Berlin claimed to be channeling the spirit of Ramtha as well. And Jay-Z Knight took her to court. Knight won the lawsuit and was declared the sole legal channeler of Ramtha.
What as a well as, funny court.
Wait, this is... We're not there yet. Hold okay. on. As well as being awarded $800 in psychic damages. Knight and her followers believe strongly that they can gain second sight through meditation and study. This allows them to predict the future and see with their mind.
Whoa.
This belief has led to things like all of the school students being told to navigate through a field blindfolded.
What?
An event which unsurprisingly led to several major injuries when people ran full speed into each other.
Of course.
By far my favorite fact about the second sight is that they organize bus trips to local Native American casinos to use their future prediction powers to cheat at blackjack.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
Okay.
But also, yeah.
That's
right?
Mean,
if you have those powers,
yeah.
Be like Back to the Future 2. Gamble, dude.
Finally, after the 2016 election, the school put out a rather cryptic statement that Trump would witness the saucers. No one was quite sure what it meant, but in November of 2017, there was a massive info dump about the government's history with UFOs. Coincidence? Looks like that wizard ghost knew what the government was hiding all along. Anyway, not necessarily a ghost story, but I thought you might like. Love the podcast, Brennan.
Yeah.
I love that,
that
actually.
That was fascinating.
I mean, Ramtha, I wanted to call her Ramantha, but it's
so
Ramtha.
Jay-Z Knight is a woman
Ramtha. Who channels Ramtha.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I know, you kept calling her Ramantha.
I wanted her name to be Ramantha.
She's the Samantha. Ramantha.
Oh, honey.
But do not, you never want to be the Raranda.
Raranda?
If you're the Raranda.
I am a
of
Miranda.
The gods.
I am a Miranda.
Which one's Miranda?
She's the redhead, the one who just ran for governor of
yes,
New York.
Okay. I never really watched
I mean,
it.
She's not the same thing, but like, I'm such a Miranda.
Are
she's
you?
The lawyer.
Oh, she, yeah, and you're a lawyer.
She's a ball buster.
You are a ball
I
buster.
Bust balls.
You bust nuts all the time.
I'll take your nuts and I'll bust them right
Give
up.
Give me your nuts, I'll bust them.
All right,
that's very, I love that court.
Yeah, I won $800 in psychic damages.
Okay, are you ready?
Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about, I don't know, like 5 different subscriptions. I could not believe when they showed me how many I was paying for each month. And they tell me when something's coming up too. What a shocker. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I've forgotten about. And, you know, I've been trying to save money. And it seems like my bank account, it was stuck. So I gave Rocket Money a try, and it turns out that I was paying for a bunch of stuff that I didn't need. And Rocket Money helped me cancel some of those, and now I'm finally starting to see my account balance going up again. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. That's rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years now. I go every single week. I don't even ever want to miss a week because it's so important for keeping me on track, especially during times where things are kind of tough, you know? It's really good to have a therapist you trust as a sounding board. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/afunnyfeeling today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/afunnyfeeling.
Are you ready?
This one is called A Swedish Ghost Story. And I'm not saying sweet-ish.
Swedish.
I'm talking about Swedish.
Like the Sweden. Meatballs.
Like the, oh, I love Swedish meatballs so much.
Oh, yeah.
The world needs to know.
Tell them, Betsy.
Hi, hope you both are good. I'm a big fan of your podcast.
Thanks.
I found out about it from Instagram through Aaron Whitehead's account.
Cool.
Aaron. I am English, but have been living in Malmö. Yeah, okay, Malmö, but it has an umlaut over the O, and I think that gives you the U sound. Malmö, Sweden. Just call it Mal. I'm just going to call it Malmö.
Okay.
Like the stupid American I am. Hey, okay. Malmö. Okay. Malmö. Okay. I am English, but I've been living in Malmö in Sweden for about 10 years now, and I've worked at different hotels around the city. For a while, I worked at one of the oldest hotels in Malmö called the Kramer. It looks like Kramer. The Kramer.
Kramer.
They even put a how to say it, but I think I'm saying it wrong. Kramer. That was built in 1878. Ooh, that's old. There are many strange stories about this hotel, and I want to tell you a couple. Yes. People would come from all over Sweden to work in the hotel. Most cities in Sweden are far apart, so young workers would also live there. Their rooms were up in the attic. Even today, you can see their names carved in the wooden beams as well as the dates they were there. The story is that during their day off at the weekends, they would have parties in the attic and dance and make noise up there.
Fun.
One night after I had finished my shift, I was having a drink with a couple of the hotel. With a couple of the hotel receptionists. That's it. Sorry. I don't actually truly know how to read. they told me that now and again at weekends, guests at the top floor would call the front desk and ask if they could tell the people above them to stop making so much noise. But the thing is, the attic isn't used anymore. It's completely empty.
Oh,
ooh, boy. The other story is about the owner, the second Mrs. Kramer, who was a mean woman and a Nazi sympathizer during World War II.
Not cool.
Ew. Mrs. Kramer was, Mrs. Kramer was very strict and a tough boss and liked things done a certain way. She always wore big black gowns, had her hair in a bun, and wore big white pearls around her neck. She died in the hotel of old age and worked as a host until the day she died. Again, the receptionist said that she had that she has been seen by workers and guests, especially early in the morning when coming in for a shift. She walks around the hallways either talking to herself or tries to arrange flowers that aren't there. Ooh! Also, once the bar/restaurant area is closed for the night, she's been seen walking around and hosting from table to table and laughing and smiling to herself as if there are guests sitting at the table. Oh. She's also known to make a slamming noise and shake candles in the bar in the restaurant if she's unhappy with the service. Spooky. I had to open for breakfast now and again. I was glad that I never saw her myself. I look forward to hearing more episodes. Love to you both, Stuart. Wow.
Stuart. Do you want to hear the pronunciation
of Malmo?
Yeah, put your headphones on.
The following pronunciation is brought to you by pronouncenames.com.
Malmö.
Pretty good.
Malmö.
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 All right.
Okay,
well,
cool.
We learned something.
Malmö.
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 Hey.
That umlaut.
Malmö.
Should we
listen to one?
Listen to one?
Yeah, let's listen to one.
Yes.
Hey, Betsy and Marcy. My ghost story takes place at the Wawona Hotel in Yosemite, California, back in 1991. At the time, I was about 4 and a half. My little brother was 3, and our parents took us to Yosemite for a family trip. The Wawona Hotel was built in 1876, so it's super old and really Victorian looking. We stayed in room 124, which was in the annex. The first night we stayed there, we went to bed pretty early because of the long drive, and there was literally no entertainment in our room whatsoever. There was no TV, no phone. That was one of the selling points of the Wawona Hotel, was you go there to kind of unplug. Right before my mom and dad went to turn out the light for the evening, the lamp went off and on again by itself. And my mom and dad kind of thought that was weird, but didn't really question it too much, so went to sleep. My dad said the second he settled in for the night, he immediately felt like someone was watching him. And he didn't sleep really well and just kind of was taking cat naps on and off because he felt like he was going to wake up any second and have someone standing over him watching him. During the night, my dad said that he was awakened by what felt like a small child's hand scratching his left calf under the covers. He thought it was me, but before he could look down to see what was scratching him, he immediately felt two strong hands grab him really hard under each armpit like he was trying to be, like, tickled, like someone was trying to tickle him. My dad tried to scream, but instead it kind of came out like he couldn't scream, so that woke up my mom. And she kind of sat up and put one hand on him and asked if he was okay. And my dad said that when she had her hand on his shoulder, he could feel the hands in his armpits release. And in that moment, he could feel 3 hands on him. Apparently, my brother and I slept through this whole thing. The same night, my brother kept laughing in his sleep so much that he would roll off the bed. And he never woke up once throughout all this laughing and falling off the bed. The next morning, my mom said to my dad, "It felt like someone was in the room with us last night." And my dad got really serious and looked at her and said, "There was." Of course, this freaked out my mom, but they didn't want to talk about it in front of my brother and I and scare us. So they just kind of like put it off. So we all went to the dining room in the hotel that next morning for some breakfast. And my mom asked the waitress kind of low key if she knew of any haunted rooms in the hotel. The waitress was immediately excited and wanted to know everything about our experiences and said that the 3rd floor of the main building is so haunted that it had to be boarded up because no one could spend a full night in any of the rooms. And room 218 is the main building, that one has a ghost that paces the floor all night long. And the annex where we're staying has a friendly ghost. So later that night, we stayed a second night. Later that second night, we had a late dinner and we went to bed, and my mom and dad were like super antsy, thinking like anything was going to happen any moment. So they didn't sleep super well. The first thing that happened on that second night was the radiator was making really loud banging sounds from midnight till about 3 a.m. So shortly before 3 a.m., I guess my dad leaned over to my mom and said, "There's no way that this banging can get any louder." And just that, it got incredibly louder. It was like went from like super loud to incredibly loud, like it was taunting them. And the second thing was the footsteps. So we had one of the only rooms with an adjoining bathroom to our room. Most of the other rooms surrounding us had to use the community bathroom, which was just down the breezeway, the open air deck from our room. So some of the footsteps going down the breezeway were actual people going to the bathroom. And then there were when there were real people, you'd be able to see their shadows through the lace curtains aligning with their footsteps. But some footsteps had no shadows. So you'd hear the footsteps start just outside our room's door, walk about 5 steps, which was the length of our window of our room, and then stop. And then there was also the bathroom. At certain points of the night, my mom and dad said that it sounded like there was water running in the sink on and off, on and off. And then my mom and dad said they could hear what sounded like my dad's razor clicking in and out of its case. And my mom apparently leaned over to my dad and was like, "Go check it out." He's like, "I'm not going to fucking go into the bathroom and see my razor floating in midair." So they didn't go check it out. Again, my brother and I completely slept through all of this. But the very last thing that happened was at about 3 a.m., I apparently screamed, "Kevin, get off my chest!" Kevin being my little brother. My mom flipped on the light to see that my brother was nowhere near me and we were both still sound asleep. So my mom, being the badass that she is, screamed, "If there's someone here, show yourself." Nothing happened. Then she said, "If you're not going to show yourself, just stop bothering us." And from that point on, everything was quiet and still until we left later that morning at 9 a.m. And that's my story. Thanks so much, Marcy and Betsy. Have a good one.
Whoa. That was good.
Aaron, that was really good.
Holy shit.
Also, that ghost is like, "Oh, I don't know how to show myself. I've been trying. I'm so embarrassed.
I haven't gotten to that part in the ghost school."
I'm a ghost school dropout.
I like, so like, you know the parents in Poltergeist, how they're just so charming and like seem fun?
Yeah.
Her parents reminded me of those parents.
Yes.
I'm just kind of like,
very cool.
We know something's up, but I'm not going to fuck around.
Yeah. They're like,
until necessary.
I love that the mom was like, "Go check it out. Go
see." I love that so much. I'm like, no.
No, I'm scared.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
We got to go to Yosemite. Stay at that place. I've never been to Yosemite.
I want to go so many places. I cannot wait to get hiatus at work so that I can go.
So you can go.
Go do some fun things.
Go do some fun spooky things.
Is it my turn
now?
That
was really good. Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Okay. I think this name is pronounced Toonley Family Death Clock.
Whoa.
So I mispronounced the death
Yeah,
word.
We apologize for mispronouncing stuff. We're
truly dumb.
We're not the sharpest crayons in the box.
Yeah. Hi, Betsy and Marcy.
Hello.
I thought you might be interested to hear a story that has been passed down in my stepmother's family for generations.
Whoa.
My stepmother's family, the Toonleys, have lived on the same land in upstate New York for hundreds of years.
Wow.
Their house is filled with antiques passed down through the family, including a very creepy porcelain doll collection.
Nasty.
And an old leather-bound Bible that their family tree painted on the inside cover.
Whoa.
One object that is no longer a part of this collection, however, is a grandfather clock that belonged to the first Toonley who came to New York from his family's home in England.
Wow.
The clock remained in the family house for decades until one day it stopped ticking. The family tried to fix it, but could not find any tinker who could make it resume ticking.
Oh, any tinker to make it tink.
Despite the fact that the gears and hardware were in perfect condition, the clock had sat broken in the corner for many years until the patriarch of the family, Joseph Toonley Sr., was lying on his deathbed.
Whoa.
The clock suddenly started to tick again in the middle of the night while he was getting progressively more sick. At the moment that Joseph Tunley Sr. died, the clock stopped ticking again, and the hands remained in the position they were at the time of death. After this, the clock remained silent again until one day the daughter of Joseph Sr. was in the house and heard the clock start ticking. Shortly after this, she found out that her son Charles had fallen outside and fractured his skull.
Oh.
He was brought inside and laid down.
Oh.
The clock kept ticking until the moment that he died.
No.
When the clock struck four, Charles died, and the clock immediately stopped ticking again.
No.
My stepmother told me that when I was little, the clock started ticking whenever a Tunley was going to die, and always stopped at the moment of death without fail.
What?
Sometimes before my stepmom was born, the family sold the clock because they believed it was cursed. They aren't sure who owns it now, whether or not it has started ticking since they sold it. I was able to find a newspaper clipping online that was printed in a local newspaper in 1894 talking about the clock. It was published just a couple weeks after Charles's death. I attached it here, and you can zoom in the PDF and read the whole story. I also found the obituary for Charles Tunley. It says, Charles Tunley of Sodus was injured by falling from a ladder 15 feet high to the ground last Wednesday. He died Thursday evening. His skull was fractured at the base of the brain. He did not regain consciousness from the time he was hurt. He was 24 years old and had been married about 6 weeks.
Oh, my God.
I will be interested to hear what your thoughts about my story on the story. I was not sure I believe it myself, but my stepmom's family is generally accepted it as fact. Thanks so much for a great podcast, Talia.
Whoa.
I mean, I don't know.
I believe it, and it's an awesome, like,
I can't believe they gave it
Tales
away.
From the Crypt or like a Twilight Zone. I would give it away in a heartbeat.
I guess it's like, I don't think it's cursed though, like, because I don't think it's causing anyone to die. It's just sort of like announcing that it's coming.
Yeah, but that's scary. I'd give that away.
Yeah,
I don't
like,
want to.
Most deaths, you know, are coming.
Yeah, but what if it starts ticking and everybody's like just kind of eating, having high tea.
That's true.
And then they're like, who's fucking gonna choke and die now?
Also, why are we having high tea? We fancy.
Because they're English.
We fancy.
We fancy. You don't have high tea every day?
No, I don't have time. Between my morning tea and my afternoon tea?
I think the clock is now in a hospital and very confused constantly.
I wonder
it's
if it's
an
still
ICU unit. Or ICU unit.
I see you. Okay.
It's like ticking and then a life is saved. And it's like, oh, okay.
All right.
I'll start ticking again.
But
life
I do
is saved.
Wonder
okay.
if it ticks when a Tunley dies.
Still. Like it's somewhere.
I bet someone like burn it by now. It's like tick, tack, crackle, crackle.
Ooh. I like that of only it only ticks when a Tunley dies.
That's what I assumed.
I thought it was like whenever death was near whoever.
Oh, I just assumed it was a family thing, that it was sort of like their clock.
Because imagine like it's in somebody's house and they're like, hey, it started ticking again.
This antique is
and then
sucks.
It stopped.
It barely works. It only starts working when one of our neighbors dies.
Yeah. Wow, I like that story
a lot. Really good.
I want to steal it and make it a movie. Okay, bye. Just kidding.
Sorry, Taya.
Okay, here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
Hello. Big fan of the podcast and a big fan of Horny for Horror podcast.
Ooh.
Thank you. I wanted to submit my paranormal experience. Here we go. I was in my dorm at college and my friend brought over a Ouija board.
Bad idea.
I have never used one before and was skeptical. We wanted to ask the board a question neither of us knew the answer to, but we could find out to see if the spirit was right and to determine if we were truly not moving the planchette. That's smart. So we asked the board what score a friend of ours got on a recent test we all took. The planchette moved to 9 and then 8. So we then texted our friend to ask what score she got, and she said 96. And we felt relieved, thinking we had debunked the validity of the Ouija board. Then, to our shock and horror, we both received an email at 10:33 p.m. from our professor notifying us that she forgot to include the extra credit question with the test when she passed them back. And because we got the question right, we could add an additional 2 points to our scores.
Oh.
Terrified, we texted our friend back asking if she had also received the 2-point bonus just then via email, and she replied, yes. The board knew our friend got 98 on the test even before she knew she did. We are now forever freaked out. All the best, Jessica.
That's
whoa.
So funny.
That's awesome.
That's such a funny way to be like, oh, great. 2 points off. Definitely not real.
Yeah. So, and then, woo.
And then to be like, blah, blah, blah.
That feels like an awesome Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes, that feels right? like a really cool, like, that's just the perfect amount of scary for, yes. like, a 13-year-old.
Oh, it's perfect.
That's so funny, though.
God, and I love that. I'm just like, okay, great. We do not need to push Ouija board anymore.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, it works. We're done. We're not going to go any further past just asking a test.
Yeah. Also, that teacher... probably drunk grading papers. I was
hell
like,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
My bad.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, yeah. Have you, I remember in college, I was pretty hammered and I wrote a paper and I did pretty good on it.
I bet you did. All right.
I just wasn't, you know, I wasn't editing myself. I wasn't overthinking. I was just.
You're letting it flow.
I was letting it flow. Okay.
Matilda, our ghost. When I was a child living in the deep Appalachian Mountains, we lived in a truly haunted farmhouse. I adore this home to this day.
Aww.
At 47, I often see if the property is for sale. I would love to move back there.
Aww.
Our home took my parents over a year to buy Hairship property. No indoor plumbing, etc. My folks made it a paradise, especially for kids, but Matilda loved it as well. She enjoyed warming the water in the clawfoot tub for me, covering me with blankets, even ones from my brother's bed.
Whoa.
She often softly spoke. Oh, sorry. She often softly awoke me kindergarten mornings and giggled at my childish rants. Everyone in my home saw or engaged with her except for my religious naysaying mom. Until the day I came down our stairs and mom was paralyzed on our couch. I was terrified to see her that way. Oh. She simply said, I saw her, Matilda. She was overwhelmed, and she said she was standing beside her and rushed off to the kitchen, around the corner, alarming my mom to burning food on the stove. My mom napped often. However, we all know and believe, and I miss her. That's so nice,
God,
Carrie.
Matilda.
I love how she just casually was like, okay, so there's a ghost. Like, no, like.
Her name's Matilda.
Anyway.
Bathtub, puts blankets on me. So does that mean, like, she would just wake up to having blankets on her?
That's very nice. Also scary.
Scary, but yeah, also nice.
It's nice.
Very scary.
Very Carrie, that's very scary.
Carrie, too scary. Matilda.
Too scary.
Too scary, but also, nice. But
also,
scary.
I love mom napping and then being like, fuck.
Yes. Yeah. That's so scary, the idea of napping with the oven going.
Oh, yeah. That's brave mom.
I don't know. That's why I never cook.
Because you nap too much?
Because I nap too
much.
She's
a napping head.
I love napping.
All right.
Okay.
One final one.
This one. The thing is, ghost story, very scary.
Starting 2019 off.
My high school biology teacher told me this story. I want to share it because it's the scariest ghost story anyone's ever told me.
Okay.
Get your pants ready to be filled with shit.
Hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your butts. Open them up. When she was in fifth grade, her family moved into a really old house in South St. Louis. A few days after moving in, she woke up in the middle of the night and saw the ghost of an old woman standing in her room, just staring at her.
Gross.
Yuck. She screamed and the ghost disappeared. Her parents ran into her room. She told them what she saw and they convinced her she had just had a bad dream. A few days later, she wakes up in the middle of the night and sees the same ghost again. She screams, and once more, her parents say she was just having a nightmare. Parents just don't understand. A few more days pass, and it happens again. This time, though, when she wakes up, the ghost is standing right over her bed and is looking down at her. Ew, sick! This time she really freaks out and sprints out of her room screaming her head off. At this point, she is 100% convinced that she has not been dreaming any of this and the ghost is real. For the next week or so, she refuses to step foot in her bedroom and sleeps in the living room every night. Smart, that's what I would do.
Yep.
Eventually, her parents refuse to indulge her anymore and they say she needs to get over it and start sleeping in her room again.
Mom, Dad,
chill out. A few days pass and once again she wakes up and sees the ghost. God damn. At this point, her parents are just pissed and they are starting to suspect that she's doing this for attention. And then in parentheses, they frankly kind of sound like assholes. They say they don't want to ever hear about the ghost anymore. Guys.
Well, come on, man.
Come on. So she was forced to suck it up. From that point forward, she would see this old lady ghost 1 to 3 times a week. Eventually, she got used to it. Oh, poor girl.
Brother.
The ghost never said a word or moved around. Sometimes it would be on the other side of the room, and sometimes it would be right over her bed. Sick. She would always just whisper at it to go away, and it would disappear after 10 seconds or so. This continued for the next 7 years until she went away for college. She never said a word about it to anyone, not even her friends. This is so sad.
Yeah.
And fucking creepy. Now here comes the really scary part.
Okay,
shit. After her freshman year in college ended, her parents went out of town for a week and asked her to come stay at the house with her younger brother. Her boyfriend came too. One night, they were sitting in the living room watching TV, and she fell asleep on the couch. Her boyfriend got up and went to sleep in her bedroom. Side note, she never told him about the ghost. A little while later, he comes running into the living room, screaming his ass off. She said he was as pale as a sheet and had never seen anyone so scared in her life. Apparently, after falling asleep, he woke up because he heard a female voice saying his name over and over.
Ugh.
Fuck. He looked up and saw the old lady ghost standing across the room, staring angrily at him. He leaped out of bed and ran to the door. When he opened the door, he felt a force shove him out of the room, and I'm getting so many chills, and into the hallway. He immediately left the house and checked into a hotel and refused to ever set foot in that house again.
And he dumped her.
Oh my God. That's a good story.
That's a really good story.
That's
what?
Very scary.
Are not nice.
Yeah, that's really sad. And like, I get it, but also what would you do if your kid kept being like, there is a ghost in my room?
I don't know, but I wouldn't be like, shut the fuck up or I'm gonna punish you.
I wouldn't, but if I keep getting woken up at night and I gotta get to work early, you know, and I gotta try to bring
mama
back to my ham. It's tough.
That's fucking scary. Also, I love that the boyfriend was like, I gotta go. I don't like that ghost knew his name.
That's horrifying.
I think that's like,
and that she was
scary.
Mad that he was in that room.
She's like, don't you premarital sex her.
Don't you do that. That's how I died.
I died from premarital sex.
Yeah, like nothing. I just had sex before marrying and I died.
And then
because
I died
of it.
Because it's
that's
bad.
It.
Premarital sex death.
Those were great, you guys. Thanks so much for sending them in.
Thank you guys so much.
Letting us start our new year off with some awesome spooky stuff.
Oh.
What a dream.
What a dream. Guys, send us your stories.
Yeah.
To funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Please rate, review,
subscribe.
Tell
your
friends.
Help us. I was just following what you were saying.
I was like, I don't know what she's doing.
Help us.
Please.
We're desperate. Please help us, guys. Like, help you with what? Help us.
We don't know.
We
just
need
help. So you guys,
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Have fun.
Thanks so much for sending in your stories.
Happy holidays.
Goodbye.
Oh, yeah! thank you so much for listening to A Funny Feeling.
If you have a paranormal experience that you would like to share, please send us a voice memo, or you can email us just a letter at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com. I'm Marcy.
I'm Betsy. And don't shit your pants!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.